system. And the fly in the ointment's gonna bring the whole thing down.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So all of the news channels that I saw yesterday were, except Fox, were full of people going, hey, we need health care. Full of stories of people that the ACA saved their lives. And I'll tell you, you know, when we do events, and we had done a number of homeless, hungry and homeless for the holiday events to raise food for the local food bank and money for the shelter, when people would come out and share those stories, really very powerful. The fact that, you know, they had pre-existing conditions and could get nothing in the past. And now because of this, they had something. And it saved their lives. To me, those stories cannot go unheard. Now, those folks who are pushing this stuff, I don't think they care. They hear it, but they don't care. That's my problem. Anyway, here to talk about this debacle and what we need to be doing, I've asked Antoinette Krause. She's the director of the Pennsylvania Health Access Network. Antoinette, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, no, thanks. Always good to be on.
So, you know, is this as bad as we thought it was going to be, or is it worse, do you think?
It's actually worse than we thought it was going to be. You know, we saw the House bill, which was horrible. You know, it cut coverage for kids, people with disabilities, seniors. And the Senate bill actually makes deeper cuts than anyone expected to those same populations. And, you know, it'll impact all of us.
Well, I mean, you know, look, you know, the theory, I guess, is, well, they made bad choices, Antoinette. They're unworthy of health care. Don't you know that?
Yeah, I mean, the argument's ridiculous. We hear from folks every day, you know, cancer survivors, you know, young kids that were born premature, no fault of their own, that, you know, rely on Medicaid or before the ACA, you know, hit their lifetime limit by the time they were 2 weeks old and couldn't get insured anymore.
I mean, think about that for a second. I mean, because I think it's important to remember where we came from. Look, I've been honest with you in the past. I was not a huge ACA supporter. I thought it was a first step. It was getting us where we need to go. It was a much needed first step, but it wasn't perfect, as some people were throwing out. But remembering where we started from, the fact that we had more than 50 million uninsured, the fact that people couldn't get any type of coverage whatsoever because they had reached their caps, the fact that we had rescission that they could go in your past and find something that you did and then deny you care, it was just nuts to me.
Yeah, and I mean, we would agree with you that the ACA wasn't perfect. And, you know, the answer is we should be working to make it better, not ripping coverage away from folks. And the CBO score yesterday actually said by 2026, you know, we'll go back to the uninsured rates we saw before the passage of Obamacare.
And the thing that gets me is that there are representatives and I don't know, and I guess this is, you can only tell, you know, what's in their heart by being in their shoes. I look at this and you go, how can you possibly look somebody in the face and say, you know what, sorry, we need to give tax breaks to the wealthy. Sorry if you know, 17 to 55,000 people don't make it next year.
Yeah, I mean, we are going to see 22 million folks lose health care under the current Senate version. At the same time, we're going to see $570 billion in tax cuts to, you know, insurance companies and the wealthiest Americans, while hardworking families, low-income individuals that are struggling to make ends meet are, you know, going to have to choose once again between health insurance, feeding their families, and paying their mortgage.
Let me ask you this, because Kellyanne Conway came out on Sunday and said, well, you know what, if you don't have insurance, just go get a job, like I do. Go get a job and you'll get health care there. I'm curious your thought.
I mean, that's just a ridiculous argument. You know, 70% of folks on Medicaid expansion in Pennsylvania have at least one full-time worker in the household. If we look at who Medicaid is covered by, 43% of kids in Pennsylvania, that's who's on Medicaid. So, you know, are we telling, you know, five-year-old little Johnny that he needs to go out and get a job in order to have health insurance? I mean, that argument is just deeply flawed and ridiculous.
Well, actually, there are some in the Republican Party who would say that, because I do remember Newt Gingrich during the presidential campaign saying we should fire all those union janitors and get those kindergartners back into the bathrooms cleaning them. I do seem to remember that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, ridiculous when we're looking folks in the eyes. And, you know, the CBO score after CBO score, you know, we're on the third CBO score, shows that millions of folks are going to lose coverage, you know. When we look at cuts to Medicaid, we're talking about seniors in nursing homes. 3 out of 5 seniors in nursing homes rely on Medicaid coverage. So we're saying, okay, you know, to grandparents and people that have paid into the system their whole entire life, the system's not going to be there for you. So, you know, you're going to have to leave the nursing home. You know, you're going to have to find care on your own. So, you know, there's just really no sound reasoning besides the fact that, you know, folks want to give tax cuts to billionaires at the expense of all of us.
And the weird thing is I've heard from a number of politicians who've said, you know, most rich people don't even want the tax breaks. They actually want to be off the front page and go back to being obscure and just being filthy rich. You know, and that's the other obscene part of all of this.
Yeah, I mean, we're just looking at creating a system that's only going to work for, you know, the wealthiest 1%. And I think if we look at what's happening, what the proposed changes are, you know, it's going to impact every single one of us, right? So, you know, if we have employer-sponsored coverage, we'll go back to that time where we wonder, you know, if we get sick, are we going to run up against a lifetime limit? If we have a child that gets born with a serious, you know, chronic illness, you know, are they going to be able to get health insurance coverage past 2 weeks old? And if not, you know, how are we going to pay for that? We're all going to have to pay for that.
You said about three out of five grannies and seniors are in, who are in nursing care, are on Medicaid. What happens if, you know, look, because I'm looking at the CBO saying 26% cut to Medicaid with this proposal. You add that on top of the, I think, $600 billion-plus that they want to take away from the budget, out of the budget from Medicaid. So you're talking almost a 50% cut to Medicaid because of their Republican choices. What happens to Granny? Because, look, those facilities can't stay in business. What happens to them? Do they end up in the street? Do we put them in debtor's prison? Because a lot of them, they've got nowhere else to go. What do we do with them?
Yeah, and there was a great article in the New York Times over the weekend. You know, they talked to, you know, a nursing home that said, look, under this proposal, we're going to have to make tough choices. You know, are we going to be able to care for all of the folks that are in our facility? Are we going to have to send folks home or, you know, to wherever they can go? You know, are we going to have to cap enrollment? You know, are we going to have to make folks pay money to be here? And, you know, they're hardworking individuals. They've paid into the system their whole entire life. And, you know, this is actually personal for me. My grandmother lived to 88 years old. And, you know, at one point we had to make the hard decision to put her in a nursing home. And, you know, by 88, she had, you know, spent her pension, was living on a very small income. And Medicaid helped pay for that. And if Medicaid didn't, you know, what would happen? Would my dad have had to quit his job, sell his house? Would I have been able to go to college, or would I have to take care of my grandma? Because, you know, we'd all take care of the loved one. But, you know, Medicaid right now plays a critical role for people in nursing homes.
And at the end of it, what happens if someone doesn't have that support network that you're talking about, doesn't have a family like yours? You know, what happens if there's just no one?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to sound morbid, but, you know, what happens? They can't get the care they need. They'll live, you know, not as long. They'll die in the streets without getting this care and coverage and having access to a nursing home.
And the thing is, I hate thinking that there are people who would allow that to happen. But I look at this proposal and I can't come to any other, I cannot come to any other conclusion other than these people just don't care and they would be okay with people dying on the street corner.
Yeah, and, you know, we've heard Senator Toomey say, oh, well, no one, you know, is going to lose their Medicaid benefits, which is just entirely false. When you create a system, you know, that's now going to be radically restructured, you know, the state of Pennsylvania gets a set amount of dollars. And when that's gone, you know, we have to figure out where that money comes from. You know, the Wolf administration estimates it's going to cost $2 to $3 billion a year. We don't have that. No. You know, Medicaid has always been a partnership between the state and federal government and always something that we can rely on to make sure that our kids, our seniors, you know, people with disabilities get the care they need.
So what, again, you know, you point out a really interesting point, because what the Republicans are going to do is you're going to shift the responsibility back onto the states, which, as you pointed out, cannot shoulder the burden. Because in Pennsylvania, there's already a $2 billion budget gap right now. Now you're going to throw another $2 to $3 billion on top of that. And that Hunger Games only gets worse. That fight between kids getting education, infrastructure being rebuilt, and us taking care of our seniors, now that becomes part of this whole Hunger Games, if you will, and who wins, who loses, and who dies because of it.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you're going to look at, you know, do we get pregnant moms coverage? Do we get, you know, disabled kids or, you know, grandma in the nursing home? Who is going to get that coverage and who do we cut from? And it goes far beyond healthcare, right? I mean, as you pointed out, Pennsylvania has a huge budget deficit. So to fill that gap, what does it come at the cost of? Do we have to raise property taxes to fund our schools because we're now paying for healthcare? You know, who gets left behind? And we're creating a system where folks are going to get left behind. Folks are, you know, unfortunately, they're going to die because we're setting up a system that's going to fail them.
And, you know, as the 4th of July is coming around, you know, Senator Casey, who I had a conversation with over this past weekend, pointed out that there's an estimated almost 11,000 veterans here in Pennsylvania alone who would lose Medicaid coverage by 2026 if this Republican plan were to go forward. So as they're out taking their photos and they're waving the flag and you know, doing the whole we love the troops thing, this is part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's much broader than that. So, you know, there's that amount on Medicaid, but 82,000 veterans in Pennsylvania have gained coverage or protection through Medicaid or the Affordable Care Act. You know, essential health benefits like substance use, behavioral health. You know, a lot of our folks come back and, you know, they have mental health issues that need to be addressed. And, you know, the ACA is there to cover them. And not everyone that serves is always eligible for benefits. So it's important to know that, you know, we're talking about the health and well-being of our veterans are on the line as well.
Yeah, I mean, as Peach tweeted to us, a blatant statement that rich lives matter to them and the rest do not. When a tax break takes priority over lives, society has broken down, and you can't disagree with that.
Yeah, absolutely not. And, you know, we helped individuals impacted by this bill actually spend 24 hours outside of Senator Toomey's office last week. And, you know, people just started pouring in that saw this on social media or, you know, saw it on the evening news and said, you know what, this is going to impact me. You know, I have a grandparent. I rely on the ACA. My kid, you know, is in a wheelchair and Medicaid pays for that. So, you know, no one is going to be immune from the conversations and the proposals moving through D.C.
Were you as disgusted, outraged, infuriated, whatever word you want to throw in there, by the photos of the ADAPT people being handcuffed in their wheelchairs with their arms behind their back? I mean, is this what we do?
Yeah. No, I mean, I was absolutely appalled. You know, we failed as a society when the folks that are trying to, you know, show that they'll be impacted are dragged out of our capital because, you know, they just want to say, hey, what about me? I'm on Medicaid. What happened? And, you know, yesterday they were in Philadelphia again at Senator Toomey's office blocking traffic saying, hey, pay attention to us. And, you know, our elected officials, despite, you know, mass protests, folks in wheelchairs going to share their stories and thousands of calls and public opinion, 72% of people oppose, you know, the two bills we've seen move through the House and now moving through the Senate, and they're still moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, the best approval numbers I had seen for the House bill, the Paul Ryan bill, was 17%. And you go, who are the 17%? I get who the 1% are, but who are the rest?
Yeah, I think it's folks that don't always realize, you know, who's making policies and how they'll be impacted. And I think, you know, the best example of this is, you know, our organization also helps people get health insurance coverage through Medicaid Marketplace CHIP. We're a nonprofit. You know, it's a free service we offered. And the day after the election, we had a Trump voter call us and say, oh, thank God we got him elected. Now, how do I sign up for health insurance coverage? And this is someone that is going to be impacted by the very proposals that the Trump administration ran against. And they just didn't realize the consequences of you know, what their vote meant in terms of health care.
My goodness. And, well, you know, the thing is, you know, they were taking Obamacare away, right, Antoinette? not the ACA. That's fine. It's that Obamacare.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sadly, there's a lot of politics. You know, there's racism that's really played into, you know, the term Obamacare, when really it's a program that's helped, you know, millions of folks get coverage, millions more, you know, have protections against pre-existing conditions or, you know, being discriminated against by an insurance company because they got diagnosed with an illness.
We are truly in dangerous times because, you know, maybe you'll agree with me, maybe you won't. I already think that even if the Republicans don't pass anything, they've done enough damage to the ACA to destroy it simply by One, defunding the ratings pools, and two, causing mass uncertainty to where insurers are just going, you know, the heck with it. We're bailing.
Yeah, I mean, we're really concerned with that, too. We're worried about cost-sharing subsidies, which help reduce out-of-pocket costs. You know, the Trump administration has threatened to hold them hostage numerous times as kind of a bargaining chip to get this bill through. I think one of the interesting stories to tell, though, is, you know, in Pennsylvania, we actually are a story of the ACA working. All of our insurers are participating this year in the marketplace that participated last year. You know, rate increases are actually the lowest they've been. They're under 10%, which is a, you know, it signifies a healthy market. So, you know, in Pennsylvania, we're moving towards the right direction and we should be doing things to improve it. But all of this, you know, all of these conversations in D.C., all of these policies would take us, you know, a huge step backwards. The insurance commissioner even said, you know, if these proposals went through, you know, Pennsylvanians would see a 36% rate increase next year.
Wow. Well, let me ask you last question then, because, you know, outside of what should we be doing, the last question I've got is, you know, why is Pennsylvania doing so well when you see states like Ohio who are struggling, and places in the Midwest who you know, they say there's a third of the counties in the country have only one insurer or none. Why is Pennsylvania doing so well then?
Yeah, I mean, we had an insurance commissioner that really worked with the insurers to help them stabilize the market. And yes, you know, last year we saw, you know, big double-digit rate increases. But, you know, as folks predicted, that was a one-time resetting of the market so we could get to this place. So, you know, we've had an administration that's been proactive in helping to shape those policies. And is it perfect? No. But the conversation and the direction we're moving is certainly not the answer.
So it comes back to who we put into elected office and the people who are running the government. Are they running it in the interest of we the people, or are they running it into the ground? And I guess that's a perfect highlight. So I said last question outside of what do we do? So what do we do? How do we stop this monstrosity?
Yeah, so I mean, call your senators early and often, call your House members. So, you know, this is going to come back to the House. We had four, you know, Republicans in Pennsylvania vote against this the first time. You know, we're the state with the largest number of Republicans voting against it, so we want to hold them. So call early and often, as we like to say, you know, engage on social media, tweet at your elected officials, and the most important thing you can do is share your story. If you've benefited from this program, if you're worried about a parent who, you know, is getting nursing home care, we need to get those stories out there because it's the personal stories that help move the narrative, and we just can't give up. So, you know, rally in the streets, call your elected officials, share your stories. At this point, you know, we need to do everything possible to stop this.
There you go. Antoinette Krauss, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much. Always great talking with you.
All right. Thanks.
Bye. Good stuff. If you want to check out their website, we'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com of how you can check out the work that they do. And it's, you know, it's just great stuff. But I'll tell you, you know, it's infuriating, it's angering, the stuff that's going on with this. Just absolutely crazy. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Time to talk. We're in a fight to bring the middle class back, and we ain't even planning on losing in this mighty war. The working class is under attack.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.